Hi, everyone, and welcome to What Would My Shrink Say, a podcast where you get inside the heads of a couple psychologists and see life through their eyes. You'll never be the same. Okay, so we have mentioned this idea of self-esteem has come up a couple times, I think, but then also this term self-efficacy. And I think maybe we have differing attitudes towards these things. So I'm kind of excited to explore this.
Yes.
But let's start off. What? Well, why this topic? Self-esteem and self-efficacy. Or maybe we should start off with what are these things? These sound like shrinky, jargony terms.
They are.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think right off the bat, we should acknowledge that these are definitely constructs of our own creation.
Okay.
And not found in the real world in any kind of discrete form.
So what, real quick, what's your elevator pitch for the difference between self-efficacy and self-esteem?
Self-efficacy is your belief about your capabilities in a given context.
Okay. Capability.
Yeah. Self-esteem tends to be about how you globally regard yourself and self-worth.
Your worth.
Right.
Okay. So worth versus competence. That's almost exactly how I would describe the difference.
Really?
I think where we're going to disagree, I think, is on the importance part of this.
Okay. So we both agree that self-efficacy seems to be much more about capabilities given a certain context.
Yeah, it's a self-assessment of your competence or capability.
Prowess, right.
Yep.
Self-esteem tends to be more about a global value appraisal of your self-worth.
Right.
Okay.
So am I a good person versus am I a good tennis player?
Right. Something do I have like a skill set in tennis that I'm capable of holding my own in a competition versus who am I globally as a human being?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So why this topic of we chose two kind of somewhat obscure psyche terms and then we kind of pitted them against each other. It seems like this is a setup for something.
Well, I think people obviously kind of use these interchangeably sometimes. Or they say them without really knowing what they're talking about.
Yeah. I think a lot of people have heard of self-esteem.
Yeah.
But self-efficacy is a little bit more obscure, I think, probably for the average person who's not in mental health or
you know, once you get education. A PhD, you're just kind of warped to what's normal anymore, I feel like. Especially in psychology.
Maybe you were abnormal to start.
Yeah, that might be true. But I think I read over these. I mean, we read these terms.
Yeah, and we think about them a lot.
Yeah, and we don't really. I don't know how often other people read
but I think self-esteem is kind of in the cultural vocabulary.
The lingo, yeah. More than self-efficacy.
More than self-efficacy.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Okay, so why are we comparing these two? Like, why is it worth putting these two next to each other?
This was your topic. I don't know. I'm not sure where you're going with this, but I'm interested in finding out.
I feel like it's because we've gotten in arguments about...
we haven't gotten in one argument the whole time we've been doing this.
I
would love to have an argument with you. I'm waiting
here
for
it
the
is.
Day.
I think self-esteem is important. Do you think it's important?
In what way is it important, Nick?
No. I asked you a question. Do you think self-esteem is important?
No, I think that you could remove this term from our vernacular and nobody would miss it, ever.
Well, but even if you don't have this particular term, it's not with the concept of whether you esteem yourself is not important?
Well... I guess the idea of how you see your value is important. I'll say that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then why would a term for that be unimportant?
Why is it
not good to have this concept of self-esteem?
Because it enables a lot of really poor dysfunctional behavior.
Okay. What are you thinking of?
Many times in a month, I will hear the phrase, if I had more self-esteem, I would do X. Fill in the blank.
Okay.
And so the way we've learned to regard self-esteem is it's like this liquid that you need a certain quantity of in order to be able to do things.
Okay.
And I think because our culture has... You know, I think self-esteem actually shows up in literature for the first time, like in the early 80s.
Okay.
It just wasn't a thing until then. But
we make up words and terms all the time. That in itself can't be a criterion for whether it's good or bad.
Oh, no, of course not. But I'm just merely suggesting we can get along just fine without this idea of having or not having self-esteem.
Okay, well, here's a concept we have had for a little bit longer.
Okay.
Dignity.
Okay.
Self-worth.
Like it.
Esteem.
Like it.
Okay, so what's so bad about self-esteem?
I don't think there's anything bad about the term in itself. I just think more it's about how we use it culturally.
You said it wasn't important.
I don't think having conversations about self-esteem or whether it's a good thing or debating its importance.
So whether I think that I am worthwhile or that I have esteem for myself, that's not an important thing to talk about.
Nope, we can talk about that all in a lot of ways. We don't have to label it self-esteem.
Why not? Esteem, so you can esteem anything. I can esteem you. I can esteem Michael Jordan, but I can esteem myself too. Wouldn't it make sense to have isn't that a unique thing, whether to the extent someone esteems themselves or not?
Yeah. I mean, I don't care what you call it. You know, you can call it whatever you want.
But you're saying it's not important.
I don't think that I don't think that having conversations about needing more self-esteem are important.
But that's different.
That's where I'm going. I mean, you can call it whatever you want. And
you're talking about the need for self-esteem in particular.
I thought that's what you were asking, the importance of...
The need. No, I just asked about self-esteem generally.
Yeah. Yeah, it's valuable. Yeah.
So you're saying in particular, you think it's... nobody ever needs to feel self-esteem.
No, I think whatever you're going to call this thing, regard for yourself, self-worth, self-value, that's an important thing. We should all strive to increase our self-esteem, our self-value, our
self-worth. I got you on record. You said we should all strive to increase our self-esteem.
We should.
Okay.
I think getting lost in the vernacular, what that entails sometimes, is probably a hopeless endeavor.
What do you mean? What's an example of that?
Well, the idea that we all need more of this thing and that you can't do things without having self-esteem. I think it's more the cultural relationship to this, to what the word means, that I think is unhealthy. I don't think self-esteem is unhealthy. I think the way our culture has kind of regarded and defined this thing, in pop culture at least, is dysfunctional and not helpful.
Do you think, so you're saying when people talk about it in our culture, what they're meaning is I need to have self-esteem in order to do things. You think that's what people mean when they talk about self-esteem?
Yeah, they almost regard it as this, again, like a quantity of something that they need enough of, because you hear it all the time. Why doesn't someone do that? Well, they don't have enough self-esteem. They don't have self-esteem. Mm-hmm. Or do you need more self-esteem so that you can go out and do this?
Wouldn't self-esteem help you do things though?
Absolutely, but it's the way you get self-esteem that I think is so important, because a lot of people really figure it's like a video game. I've got to uncover and find more self-esteem.
Oh, wait, but so you're saying, I thought you said needing self-esteem was not something we should be talking about. But you're saying it is something we should go after. I'm confused.
Self-improvement, something we should all go after. And if you improve yourself, you will have more self-esteem.
Wait, you're changing the terms though. So, self-esteem, like if I esteem myself, I'm going to be better able to do certain things. So why wouldn't I want to try and increase my self-esteem?
Oh, I think you should.
Okay.
I'm on record. You got me on record as saying we should all improve our self-esteem.
Right.
Yeah. I just think we should really know what that is exactly. What that entails exactly, and how that works exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So self-esteem is a pretty valuable topic.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Damn it. Because I think so too. I think it's a super important topic. I think it's really important, actually.
What's the Okay, so go ahead. Sorry.
No, I'm good.
What do you think the relationship is? Because there is, I think, a relationship between self-efficacy and self-esteem. I think. Because you can have one without the other. Right?
Yeah, sure. I mean, you can have, you know, even if you think you're a terrible person, you have very low self-esteem, you can know that you're an above average piano player.
Right. Or I could be a really below average piano player and still regard myself as a pretty awesome person.
Sure, both ways.
Yeah, which I do. yeah, but I do think sometimes increasing your self-efficacy can help increase your self-esteem as well.
How do you increase your self-efficacy?
By developing a skill.
Uh-huh.
And working hard at something and improving your ability to do something. I think that can have an increase your overall appraisal of your worth. Mm.
Okay, so that gets to a good point. I think if there's a problem with the term self-esteem, it's the same problem that you could run into with self-efficacy. As is, it's the same problem you can run into terms like happiness, in that there are things that are not directly modifiable. You can't decide to have more self-esteem. Just like nobody has a self-efficacy knob that they can just kind of turn up, or a happiness dial they can turn up or down, right? You only get more self-esteem or self-efficacy or happiness as a result of doing things that lead to those.
Exactly.
So
yes.
I think the big problem that I think applies just as much to self-efficacy as self-esteem is people think they should be able to increase these things directly.
Right.
Which is a losing battle.
And my problem is that I think they think they should be able to increase these things directly before they acquire skills and undergo any kind of behavior.
Mm.
It's almost like I need to find the drawer in my desk that has the self-esteem I'll need to then write this letter. Mm-hmm. Where they don't realize that writing the letter, you know, doing the thing will probably give you more self-esteem.
Yeah. So right? this and practically, I think this manifested in the 80s and 90s. The self-esteem movement kicked off, and what I would say is a misapplication of a good concept, you got to tell kids they're awesome more.
Right.
Right. Right. And that's going to lead to all sorts of great things.
And if you don't, they'll have
really
low self-esteem.
You're really smart, Johnny.
Anything.
Like right. You're so smart. You know, you're a great person.
Right.
You know,
right. We'll just artificially blow up everybody's ego.
Yeah. Which doesn't actually work. Like we know now, like that doesn't actually work at all.
Even little kids are good enough at looking around a room and saying, I don't think I'm this guy.
But to me, I think self-esteem gets scapegoated a little bit because that's self-esteem itself isn't the problem. It's the way we go about trying to increase. I think we should try and increase self-esteem, but the problem is you just can't do it directly. You can't do it with this simple, just like, oh, you're wonderful.
Yeah. Or I think the pop culture issue is the way you increase self-esteem. I think we all should do that.
Yeah, where does genuine self-esteem come from?
Right, and how do I... Yeah, because a lot of people think you find it somehow.
Mm.
A lot of my clients are like, as soon as I get more self-esteem, I'll do this really cool thing that I want to do. And I'm always like, well, how do you get more self-esteem? And they just kind of look at me like, I don't know, but that's what I'm here for.
But it involves finding myself somehow.
Yeah, finding myself. And so it's kind of the cart before the horse kind of issue, right? Mm. How do you...
Yeah, confusing cause and effect.
Yeah, 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 it is. And it's almost upsetting when I tell people, look, we're gonna make this your goal, and we're going to start knocking off the steps to get to your goal. And along the way, you're going to increase your self-efficacy and self-esteem and all these things.
As a byproduct.
Of pursuing this goal, right? Not, you know, we're not going to find you a bunch of self-esteem and artificially blow up your ego, and then have you attempt this thing. That doesn't make any sense. Yeah. But it's almost disappointing when you tell clients that. They look at you like, wait a minute. That doesn't make any, you know, to them, the magic recipe has been find more self-esteem, then attack the project.
Hmm. Yeah, which sort of gets at a more general point that we've talked, like we talked about this with motivation, with the idea of motivation, that it's the general form is what we call emotional reasoning, which is thinking of emotions as like fuel to do certain things. Like I need to feel X in order to do Y.
Yeah.
Right. And it's true that sometimes emotions do help us feel things, but if we rely on that as an exclusive sort of fuel source or rationale for doing things, that we're really setting ourselves up for failure. And that perhaps a more pragmatic, helpful way of looking at emotion is that it actually comes from doing things.
Mm-hmm.
So if you know, do you need happiness to act kindly, right? To be nice to someone?
Do
you need to feel happy in order to act in a cheerful or kind way to someone? Or does acting kind lead to you feeling better about yourself?
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably the more helpful way to look at emotions as byproducts, not as causes.
Yeah, yeah. Boy, that's so important. It really seems to me like in high school, there should just be a class on emotions that everybody has to have. You know? There are a lot of people who just really never understood an emotion well and end up in therapy years later to figure that out.
But it's not surprising because emotions do work that way. Like when you feel energetic, it's way easier to go to the gym.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. Yep. And when you feel happy, it's easy to be kind.
Easy to be nice and kind. Yeah, yeah. Yep. So it's not totally unreasonable to have that be your theory of emotion, that it's like fuel for doing things. The problem is when that's not a very nuanced way of looking at emotion.
Right. Right. Very simplistic, in fact, and not a very advanced look at emotion at all.
So the problem is that it also goes the other way, and that doing certain things often lead, you can generate emotion. You don't have mm-hmm. to wait around for it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's often harder to do difficult things when you're not feeling it.
Right.
But it doesn't mean
a lot of people almost believe they can't, though. Like, I feel this way, I do these things.
Right. Which is, getting back to self-esteem, it's dangerous if you put your self-worth, your esteem for yourself, if that's dependent on how you feel,
mm-hmm.
right? Or on what other people tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is a setup for feeling terribly about yourself, right? Yeah. Because emotions come and go, and people can be jerks, and you know, that can be very, very unpredictable. That's a very fragile container for your self-worth.
Yeah. Yeah. What kind of things do you think you should incorporate into your assessment of your self-worth?
Yeah, it would be fascinating to pull people and look at people who have high self-esteem and ask them why do you esteem yourself so much?
Well, there's so much research out there about how our perception of ourselves does not match what other people think at all. You know, so it does make me wonder. You know, if my value, my self esteem, mm-hmm. is based on perceptions I have of me, mm-hmm. then I wonder do I really have a very accurate perception of my self worth at all?
Maybe it doesn't matter.
What if it's just based on perception?
What if it doesn't matter?
It's one of those perception deals, which I'm fine with.
I don't know.
Well, I think it has to be, right?
Yeah, to some extent, there's no unit of self-esteem out
there.
I mean,
you could incorporate like quantifiable measurements into your self-worth, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So I
think ultimately it comes down to values. Like, when you stop and really thoughtfully consider, like, what things in life are really important to me? Mm-hmm. You know, like, I think it's really important to be honest and to work hard.
And
right?
Then your assessment of how you're measuring up there.
If I tend to be honest and work pretty hard, then my self-esteem is going to go up, right?
Unless you're not able to correctly identify your abilities, though.
But that's a separate problem. I mean, the point is, like, what are you going to tie self-esteem to if not to values?
Yeah. No, I think you're right. And it just may be a misperception of those values sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of things can get in the way of that, for sure.
You know, self-esteem conversations with my clients are always so interesting, too, because some of the things that they're wanting to do in life that they feel like they need a lot more self-esteem to do.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those things aren't that difficult.
Like what?
Well, I mean, and let me extend that thought so I don't sound like an absolute jerk, but given some of the other feats that they've accomplished in their life, sometimes I'm surprised at what they feel like they need more self-esteem to do.
Okay. I think I know what you mean, but give me an example. What's a concrete example?
Let's say I have a client who has, who's coming in because they want to run a 5K.
Okay.
It's a goal they have, you know, and they really feel like, I don't have enough self-esteem here. I can't do that. I'm not good at making myself do things. I'm not, you know, I don't want to do whatever it is.
Okay.
But then this client is a surgeon.
Is this a common situation?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I've literally had these situations before where you're like, so training for a 5K seems more difficult than getting through med school and a surgery rotation. And okay, I'm right. You know, I mean, those kind of, but I think that relates to self-efficacy.
Wait, why would that person not have tied? Why would they have not have used the same logic throughout med school? That's interesting that self-esteem is so particularly attached to, like, needing self, the need for self-esteem is very attached to running a 5K, but not necessarily to getting through med school.
Well, I think with this person, graduating from med school was a different context.
Yeah. So it's kind of context specific.
So that's why I say sometimes it relates to self-efficacy, where it's like, I think I'm so bad at this thing that it's tainting my global appraisal of who I am, you know, where it's more of a self-efficacy problem, but they're making a global appraisal based off of that issue.
Okay, so that is where I am a little bit cautious with the term self-esteem compared to other self-assessments like self-efficacy,
right?
Because it's so global, and that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Self-esteem,
yeah,
right.
But that very global assessments can be dangerous, right? I think
potentially,
right? Yeah, potentially. Whereas if you're just assessing your, let's say, your skill as a tennis player, right? Mm-hmm. You could make an incorrect assessment and I'm just a terrible tennis player,
right?
Right, and that may be incorrect, and that might lead to you feeling kind of bad, but it's really only about the part of your life concerned with tennis,
right?
Right. But if you're saying I just don't have any self-esteem, like I'm just not a very good person, like that's everything. That's your whole being, right? So I think you do probably need to be a little bit more thoughtful with when you're considering and talking to yourself and other people about self-esteem, because it's such a broad, global, personal.
But I think it's possible to say I can't hit an overhand serve. I really suck at that. What's wrong with me? I suck at this. I'm a fat, lazy idiot. I can't do these things. I'm a piece of shit. I should never try anything again. And go to some kind of self-esteem global appraisal of who you are.
Yes.
Right?
I would agree. That's definitely possible.
And and that's the interesting case I see very often, because so many of our clients, they're not failures through and through. They're just not.
No.
Few people are.
No.
But they'll almost see themselves like that in some ways, despite some of the great things they've done in life. And that's always kind of an interesting conversation. Yeah.
Yeah. But so tell me more about self-efficacy in particular. Like, why do you think that's an especially important concept?
Well, I'm a contextualist anyway, so I really like to see things in a context and not do like global stuff, because global stuff only applies to global stuff. And so self-efficacy to me is where it's at, because it's like, I'm not good at this thing. I can not be good at a thing, and I don't have to worry about who I am value-wise in the universe. It's just my ability to do this thing or not. And I can improve it. I can work on it. There's a lot of a really cool contextual work to do there. Whereas these global things tend to be a little elusive to me sometimes.
Yeah. So it's more,
In fact, I think if someone said, oftentimes when someone comes in with a self-esteem issue, I take it contextually. What do you mean? What context are you struggling with? And then we end up having kind of a self-efficacy talk rather than a self-esteem talk.
Oh, so they're confusing really what they struggle in this one particular area, and you actually help them to see you're really just struggling in this one specific area.
More often than not, that's what a lot of, I have poor self-esteem clients kind of need is just, it's rare that, I mean, surely really depressed people have this kind of global, I suck at everything. But a lot of people with specific self-esteem kind of questions that they come in, it's a context they're struggling with, not.
And you find that when you help them improve self-efficacy,
right,
then the problem kind of takes care of itself.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. That maybe they've mislabeled the problem or they're thinking about it in a global way when it's really not a global thing. Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting, because I often take, like, I think we end up at the same place, but I kind of take it from the other side, which is get them to think more carefully about what self-esteem really means. Like, what are the things by which you should esteem yourself or not?
Oh.
Like, what is
what
really,
are the, yeah.
What are those values? Like, what, and are there areas in your life where you do really live up to those often? And really get them kind of clarifying, like, oh yeah, there are, I'm super, like, I'm always very honest, you know, I always, like, I work really on
I'll get out
Right, but it can be sort of, in the same way you were describing, their concept of self-esteem is a little bit fuzzy and right. kind of narrow, maybe.
Yeah.
So by clarifying, by really talking with them about, well, what is self-esteem to you? Like, what should that rely on? Where should yeah. that come from?
Well, I mean, it kind of makes sense. I mean, I guess if I got a feel, I guess if someone said, I have really low self-esteem, and you asked them to elaborate on that, which you would, mm-hmm. You would get a sense right away, is this kind of a depressogenic global appraisal of self, or is this a context issue? Because a lot of times I ask, what makes you think you have low self-esteem? You know, and they'll say, well, I can't do X very mm-hmm. well. You know, and you're like, oh, this is a...
Which goes to competency.
Yeah, this is a self-efficacy question, not a right. global. But if I ask them to elaborate and they're like, I've just always been a loser and I've always, you know, mm-hmm. then you know, okay, this is global. This is a self-esteem. This is maybe more of a classic depression kind of self-esteem issue rather than a self-efficacy issue. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a, I think there's been kind of a, because I think we missed so hard on our, on the first like movement of self-esteem, like we just like blew up in our face so much. Uh-huh. We swung to the other side of the pendulum with self-esteem. A lot of people are kind of dismissive of self-esteem, mm-hmm. Which I don't really like either. Like
being dismissive of?
Yeah, I think a big part of mental health is actually having self-esteem. Now, I think there are interesting conversations of like, what is that, you know, how does self-esteem function in your life? Where does it come from? What mm-hmm. does it actually mean? Mm-hmm. But I think those are all really important conversations and questions. So actually, I like talking about self-esteem a lot in therapy.
I think I don't mind conversations about it so long as the term's used correctly and the fallacies of self-esteem aren't being perpetuated. You know, to me, just as a psychologist, I think it tends to be a really great way to avoid accountability when it's like, hey, you know, I would do that, but I don't have enough self-esteem. And that seems to be a lot of how some people use the term self-esteem. I just don't have enough of it. I need to get more of it before I do X, Y, and Z. And that's a really hard conversation to have for me. It just kind of, it's like a stone in my shoe, you know? It's like, we're dealing with this really warped way of, you know, looking at this. So, but I don't mind talking about it other than that. All so right. Just don't mess up the definition, Nick, and you and I can talk about self-esteem for a long time.
All right, well, we didn't get in a fight.
No, I didn't even come across the desk one time. Mm-hmm. It's kind of impressive. A lot of restraint on my part.
All right, we'll keep trying.
But I have high self-esteem, so I can do that. Hey, everyone. Nick and I really appreciate you listening to the podcast. Please rate us on iTunes if you get a chance. And if you have any feedback or comments for us, that'd be great as well. And if you have any questions or topics you'd like us to cover in the podcast, let us know in the comment section as well. Thanks.